I do have a disclaimer tonight. There have been three sermons on various aspects of transience within this church since 2012. First, Jamie Dunlop's talk in May of 2017 focused on loneliness and feeling disconnected in a church where there seems to be a great deal of transition. The second one, Shai Lin's incredible and uplifting talk in March of 2015, focused on the departure of friends, and that came on the heels of the sending out of the Anacostia River Church plant. And Jamie Dunlop also gave the talk, another talk, in October of 2012, where he focused on strategies for growing in friendship and hospitality in this church. Each of these talks gave scriptural, practical, and encouraging help for how to cope with the seemingly constant churn of transition here. For those struggling, particularly with the departure of the Cheverly Baptist Church congregation, I highly encourage you to listen to Shai's beautiful and uplifting sermon. Nothing against Jamie's messages from his times giving talks, but those are mostly about the people here. Shai's message is about sending people out, and it is incredible. For those of you who are checking online right now to get that message, please give me 30 minutes, and then you can listen to it. But I do encourage you to listen. Of course, depending on your particular circumstances, you've heard all of these talks live and in person. You may have only heard the recent talk in 2017. You may have heard the talk in 2012, missed the 2015 talk, but then were back in membership for the 2017 talk. Or you're so new that you haven't seen anyone leave the church, which I believe is quite impossible since Cheverly just left last week. Or you've been here so long that you say, what transients? I've been sitting in the same seat for 15 years. I haven't moved, which I believe that could be possible. Regardless, you may be asking yourself a legitimate question. Why address the topic again? Mainly, it's because we all struggle with transitions, that which is temporary, and with the transient nature of not only our church, but of our world. I can't tell you how many times we as elders, as we ask you for prayer requests here, of the struggles that you have with people who are leaving, with friends who are leaving. It isn't just a question whether we are short-term members or long-term members. We've all asked the question of whether we should stay here at CHBC or go to another church. Even if you've been in the same pew for 15 years, you've asked that question. Just ask the people who left for Cheverly. Many of them had been here for years and decades. But there are other transitions that can exacerbate the temporary and transient nature of our world. We've all seen friends come and go. We've all experienced ourselves or watched as friends move from, some of us have experienced ourselves or watched as friends move from single to married. We've seen those married without kids go to married with five kids. We've watched kids march from the two-year-old room to Praise Factory, to youth group, and then to college. Some of us have transitioned here at this church into our 30s, our 40s, our 50s, and our 70s. And we've seen the various challenges and encouragements that are brought by transitioning in age. We've lost jobs. We've put on hold dreams. We've lost children. We've lost spouses. We've lost parents. And by the time you add in new jobs, new roommates, new houses, new community groups, new small groups, new traffic patterns, new schools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it can seem that there is nothing permanent in this city, this church, and even this life. And quite frankly, it can be exhausting. So how do we cope with this nomadic and changing life? Is it possible to live with anything of permanence in this temporary world? Is the idea of permanence in this world even a good thing for Christians to seek or expect? To answer these questions to help us to understand the importance of the church in a transient world, please turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. If you're using the Red Pew Bibles, you can find Numbers 9:15 on page 118. Now, as you're turning there, let me give you a little context to the Numbers and where we are in the book. The book of Numbers tells us of the story of the 40-year wilderness journey of the Israelites, the people of God, the chosen people of God. We see them move from the base of Mount Sinai to the border of the promised land as they go into the, as they prepare to go into the land that God has given them and promised to them. This comes after their deliverance by God from slavery in Egypt. It was at Mount Sinai that they received from God through Moses the Ten Commandments and the various laws and restrictions that distinguish the Israelites from the surrounding peoples and nations. It's what set them apart. In our particular passage, we see that God guided his people through this 40-year journey with his presence, his glory, which was physically represented as a cloud by day and fire by night. As I read verses 9 through 23, pay special attention to the people, their journey, and their God. Numbers chapter 9, starting in verse 15. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. It was always, so it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that, the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, and when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. And the command of the Lord, at the command of the Lord, they camped. And at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord and the command of the Lord by Moses. At the command of the Lord by Moses. I want to look at three different things here in this passage. First, we're going to take a look at the people. Who are these people? And what do we see from this passage about these people? Then we'll take a look at their journey and what that meant and what that looks like here in our church. And then I want to take a look at their God, who they worship and who we worship today. So what stands out to me in these verses is the people's obedience. The people were obedient. You see in verses 18, 19, 22, and 23, when the cloud settled, they settled. When it lifted, they broke camp and left. They went on the move. Now, if you know anything about the Israelites, if you've read your Old Testament, we will see them grumbling not very long after they set out from Mount Sinai. In fact, they've already grumbled at the base of Mount Sinai as God was giving them his commands. And that has tragic consequences. But here, their obedience is noteworthy. After all, they had seen God deliver them from the Egyptians. They had seen him part the Red Sea. They had been given his laws and reminded that they were his people. And as the church, we too have been given God's laws. We have God's word in our hands. And friends, your obedience stands out to me. Your obedience to God's word, to the commands to gather together, the commands to evangelize, the commands to push the Great Commission forward, the commands to give to your church, the commands to obedience that God has called you to, that stands out to me. There are some of us that grumble. There are some of us who are discontent. But friends, I see this church as marked by one of obedience. I see it as a people who are marked by obedience. Another thing about these people is that they were a people. They were a group of people. They were full of tribes and families. They were in this thing together. There, if you take the numbers, we think there are probably somewhere around 2 million people in this camp of Israelites who are moving about the wilderness. That's a lot of people. I grew up in a town of 12,000. I can't even imagine 2 million people moving about. I can't even imagine my hometown moving about. And this had to be done together. God's commandments were such that these people moved out at certain times. Certain tribes moved out in front, and certain tribes moved out in different orders. They had to take down the tabernacle, which was not an easy tent to pitch. They had to move these things in the exact right way as God commanded. It took the entire people to break the camp and to set up the camp. In all this, I imagine they're building relationships between families and tribes and working together, laboring together for the furtherance of the gospel as a group effort. I think this is exactly how our church does things. It takes the entire church to labor together to further the gospel. It takes the entire church to care for the children of this church. It takes the entire church to give so that we can go out and use the money that you give to further the gospel. We are in this together. We do these things together. You know, our world is into friends and follows and connections, but many of these lack a true relationship. It's only here at the church where we can be honest about our sin, honest about our failures, where we can weep with those who weep, we can rejoice with those who rejoice. We need each other in this world, in this life. For those of you who are here with, away from your families, which is most of us, we need mothers and fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts and uncles to care for us as we don't have access to our families. My children need you. My wife and I need you. You are our family because we don't have family, right? We don't have blood family right here next to us. And quite frankly, I think I would appreciate you all more than sometimes blood family. But that's because we care for one another. We share this journey. We develop long-lasting relationships here. After all, these are eternal relationships between the brothers and sisters in Christ. This is why we covenant together, so that you know this is not just some haphazard relationship or haphazard friendship when you come into these doors. You know that people are covenanted together to care for you, to pray for you, to watch over you. There's a special bond that we have in Christ. Now, yes, there are some of you that are here only temporarily. Your college students, your pastoral interns who we run in and out of here in 5 months, your military families that are here 1, 2, maybe 3 years. And then there are some of you who have decided to stay as long as the Lord allows. There are some of you who have been here for 15 years. We're all part of the same family, and we are all needed to further the gospel work in this place. So I have a few encouragements for those of us who are in different parts of this. So for those of you who are here for only a short time, act like you'll never leave. Embrace the family. You have a family here. If your biological family is nowhere nearby, turn to your church family. We'll care for you. We'll help you. And know that there can be lifelong spiritual impacts even in a few short months of being here. I can't tell you how many countless testimonies that I've heard in my time at this church of people who are here 5 months, 6 months, a year, 2 months, and their lives have been changed by their stays at this church, even short stays. For those of you who plan on staying, be a steady foundation for the rest of us. Care for those who are short-termers here. I know this can be tiring. I know this can be exhausting. My wife was telling me, some people say, hug the parade, embrace the parade. This is life. We've got people moving in and out. It's a reality here. Let's care for them well, and let's send them on the way knowing what God has done for them in their time here. You know what God has done for you in the 10, 15, 5, 6 years that you've been here. Share that with those who are here for a short period of time and care for them well. We are building up the saints around the world. I have served with CHBC members in Germany, in Iraq, here, and in other places. And I'm sure you could say the same. I know people who are here who served with other people, other church members in Africa before they even knew they were church family members. So for those of you who are staying, be a steady foundation for those who come through here on short time, short stints. Another thing about the people here we see, there's a visible presence of God. I can imagine that changed their mindset a little bit. So think about it. As you're always watching, listening, waiting for that cloud to lift, that pillar of fire to move, because you knew as soon as that did, you had things to do. And when it stopped, you knew you had things to do. You had to set up camp or you had to break down camp. Always watching and waiting and listening to see that God was on the move, builds that anticipation. It didn't stop them from grumbling. It didn't stop packing up. It didn't make camp packing up camp or setting up camp any easier. But that attitude of anticipation, especially for those of us who have been here for some time, it will break that discontentment that we start to feel as people move in and out of our lives. And this is much like us as a church. I see in you, my church family, how God is moving in your lives. It encourages me. It drives me. It helps me in my own journey of faith. For you new members, I am thankful for you. Your excitement to see what God is doing in your life here at this place and the lives of this church, it's amazing to watch as people come in and join this church and see how their lives are changed. For you solid, steady, and longtime members, thank you. You care for us so well. You care for the family of God. And sometimes it's a great sacrifice that you do that. And so thank you. You are a great encouragement to me in this. So let's talk about the people's journey. Look there in verses 19, 20, and 21. Now, we're not talking about moving a pickup full of stuff. We're not talking about moving a family of four across town. We're talking about moving millions of people to wherever God would set them out the next time, whether that be overnight, one day, one month, or for a longer period of time. Now, I think I completely understand this. In the military, Tracy and I were in the, I served in the Air Force for the first 17 years of our marriage. And we were always in this churn of coming and going. There was always this talking about this next duty station. When I would get to a duty station, the requirement for me was that I had to fill out my dream sheet, which was kind of the list of places I wanted to go next, within 3 months. So I barely had time to even understand what I was doing, getting the things that I was supposed to be working on, and I was supposed to be looking forward to the next assignment. Now, that builds some discontent. That kind of sucks out any anticipation of what your current assignment's doing because you're having to think forward to the next one. And these are 3-year assignments, 2-year assignments, and 1-year assignments. When we moved here in 2005, in the summer of 2005, and became members of CHBC in September of 2005, I had already had to decide what I was going to do the next year after school was over. Had I known how great this church was at that time, I would have tried to get a job here in D.C., but I thought New Hampshire would be great, which it was. And so 10 months later, we were moving on our way to New Hampshire because that had already been decided. We were in this constant churn of leaving. And it wasn't just us that was leaving, but it was our friends that were leaving. So we could land in a place, and within months, the friends we had made, they had orders. They were moving. And it wasn't just the orders to move. It was the orders to deploy. So while Tracy lived in most of these places, 3 to 1 years, I probably lived in many of them 2.5 years, 1.5 years, because I was deployed at different times throughout those assignments. This really promoted this discontentment and this always moving. And you know what it was? It was the church that grounded us. It was the church that taught me differently about permanence in a temporary place. We learned how to get involved quickly. We knew that time was short. We had a short amount of time where we could be a part of the family, and so we had to get involved quick. We learned how to make deep relationships quick, even though we knew it would be hard to move on or watch them move. And it was the family that we needed in a new and different place. Our first priority every time we moved was to find a church. I started my military career a little bit before the Zillow and the internet. And so we had to depend on people who were already there to help us find places. And most of the people that I was working with in my offices weren't Christians. So asking them to help me find a church was difficult. So Tracy and I would sometimes double up on churches. We even tripled up on churches. We'd go to 2 services in the morning at different churches. We'd go to an evening service at a different church tonight to find that family, to find the church where we felt that God was leading us to so that we could be a part of it quickly. Don't give in to the temporary notion of our journey here, family. We may only be in camp one day. Can you imagine those folks that were tempted to guess on whether they were going to move or not? You think they kind of set side bets aside to say, okay, I think the cloud's going to move tomorrow. I think it's going to move later. Can you imagine the temptation to just not unpack or just kind of keep a few boxes to the side just so that you wouldn't have to pack them up so much the next time? How many of you unpack at hotels? I don't. My wife does. I don't, because it's temporary. I don't plan on being there that long, so why should I unpack things in the drawers that I'm going to forget? But I appreciate my wife's perspective on that, because even though it's a temporary place, we're still together, it still feels like home sometimes. We've spent enough time in hotels in our military moves that it does feel like home. Our kids like motels or hotels. But friends, it's that comfort of being settled even in a place that is inherently temporary that gives us encouragement. Use the days that you have here in this church here. Don't be looking to the next thing. Use your time here. Iron sharpens iron. There's no wasted time in this church, and we need each other to help us do that. So when you're here, use your days here. Now, the opposite can also be true. When we're so settled that we don't want to leave, then we just stay here, let others move. And that might be the case, and God may be leading you to do that, and that's great. But you need to be open to God's direction and be obedient to him. This mindset can be more than just about moving, you know, saying, God, I really don't want to do that. Since we've been here, since we came back this last time in 2011, there have been two opportunities for us to look at moves outside of the city. I retired in 2014. I looked at a job in Los Angeles. I had no idea why God would move me from one bad traffic to another bad traffic. We had no family in Los Angeles. But what happened during that time of considering it was that God just wanted to make sure that I was open to his rule over my life. And so when the time came and they told me no, I was disappointed because we were looking forward to what God might do for us there. And then even just this last year, we looked at a job in Salt Lake City near Tracy's family. And that's a place we never said we would move to, but we were considering it. And it was because God just wanted us to be open to the possibility. God has you here in this place. You know, our first trip through CHBC was 10 months. And we have to remind ourselves that God was sovereign. He knew exactly what he was doing. Some of you who are dear friends then are dear friends now. For you long-termers, which includes me at this time, God has you here in this place, and he is sovereign. Our second time at CHBC is 6.5 years and counting, and I'm thankful for that. And finally, let's look at their God. Look in chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and at evening it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. God was present with his people. That's an incredible encouragement for them to be able to see God's presence in that way. God also gave them his commands. We see that in verse 23. But he kept them in transition. Verse 19, they were there in camp for many days. Verse 20, they were there for a few days. Verse 21, they were over there just overnight. He provided for all their needs. We see elsewhere in these books that God provided manna and quail for their to feed them. He provided water. He provided leadership. He gave them the strength for their journey. He conquered opposing armies that were in their way, and he gave them rest. He provided the temporary, but always pointed them to the permanent. He reminded them by moving them that that was not their home, that he had a promised land ready for them. And he does the same for us today, friends. Just think about some of the verses that in God's word and look towards the permanence and the temporary. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Matthew 6:19 through 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The church, our evangelism and our preaching and teaching of the gospel, promotes treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:33-34, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Talk about the permanent and the temporary there. We see this kingdom of God that's permanent, but we see that tomorrow is temporary. Today has enough problems of its own. And in Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above and not on things that are on earth. These are all reminders to us, friends, that remind us of the permanent of God's kingdom, even as he helps us in the temporary. It was a reminder that this is not our home. I understand that there is real pain in transience. I understand that it is hard to lose friends, and it is hard to want to make new friends because we know that they may not be here very long. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, our God is a good, and as we heard this morning, a faithful God. He walks through the valley of the shadow of death with us. He carries us through those times. He understands the pain that we feel when friends leave. Now, there may be some in this room who find no comfort in these verses. A good shepherd, a faithful God, peace in a transient world, it just can't happen. It's not possible. There's no such thing, you might say. But I suspect that in the quietness of your room, you have this hope and this thought that a good shepherd might exist. A faithful God might be there. And there might be peace beyond understanding. Dear friend, it's true. Without God, we are all hopeless. All we have is the temporary, the transient. Our sin has separated us from this good and faithful God. But in his great mercy, he sent us Jesus Christ to live a perfect, sinless life that we could not. Jesus took upon himself the wrath of sin that we deserve, and as he died on the cross, on the third day he rose from the grave, thereby making death temporary for those who repent of their sins and believe in him. For those who do believe, death is replaced with eternal life. Please know, if you think this way, that there's no comfort in these verses, that God is faithful to forgive your sins. He is a good shepherd and a faithful God. If you want to know him today, ask the person you came with or talk to any of the pastors at the door at the end of the service. We'd be happy to tell you of our good and faithful God. As Mark said this morning, a hallmark of a Christian God is his faithfulness. He will do what he says. And friends, that means whether you're here for a short time or a long period of time, God will do exactly what he says and what he intends to do with you here in this place. In John 17, 24, on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Friends, the gloriousness of our Savior, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is that he's returning so that we may see his glory. The same glory of the Lord that guided Israel in the wilderness is returning for his church. Quite frankly, I think this is why we talk about transience from time to time, because it gives us a chance to point to heaven, because that is our final home. That is where we're moving towards. And on that day when the trumpets will sound, we will break the camp of this temporary home to live in the permanence of his presence in the new heavens and new earth. As we're going to sing shortly, when he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song will sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. I look forward to seeing that with you, whether you are here for 15, 20, 30 years, or you are here for 6 months, because I am confident in the Lord Jesus Christ who will carry us home, and we will sing that on that day. And that's what gives me hope, my friends. Let's pray. Dearest Father, our faithful and good God, grant us stamina as we wait for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen.